Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. This is a special episode. Brad Williams, my co-host, still up in San Francisco doing the morning radio DJ gig. Live 105 in San Fran, if you're up there, listen to him. He's hilarious. It's a Kevin Kline show that he's a co-host on. And Brad's up there. He'll be back down here soon as we knock out some big guests coming up. We got Gerard Carmichael, Melissa McCarthy, and Dane Cook all coming up. But today's episode, friend of the show and star of NBC's Undateable, which is coming back. Season 2, Brent Morin is coming back. You guys loved him last time, so we do it up again. We drink, we sing, we talk about his crazy... he just went on the Oddball Tour, which was this 10,000 to 15,000 seat amphitheaters with, you know, Louis C.K. and Marc Maron and Bill Burr and Chris D'Elia and Hannibal Buress and Sarah Silverman. It was just insane. He went to Vegas with our buddy Adam Devine and just got into some trouble. It's a lot of fun. Brent and I always have a good time. So you're going to enjoy this episode. Of course, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Comment on it. And tell your friends. Get it at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. All our tour dates. Brad's obviously taking a little break from the road, but I've got a lot of dates coming up at adamraytv.com. We'll be at San Diego, the Madhouse Comedy Club, October 16th through the 18th. Of course, the Las Vegas Laugh Factory over New Year's. But there's some other dates going to be start popping up. And then when I'm in town in Los Angeles, Laugh Factory Improv Comedy Store. All those dates are at adamraytv.com. Follow me on Twitter at adamraycomedy. Follow Brad at funnybrad. And that's it. All right. Sit back, enjoy this very special episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brent Morin.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
Bray, you're a friend of the podcast, but
what'd
a friend in real life first.
What did you just eat?
That was gum. I took it out of my mouth for a second, put it back in. I had a split moment where I go, maybe I'm going no gum on this podcast. But you know, I was like, you know what? I like the gum.
Yeah, people love the gum.
Cheers, by the way.
Hashtag gum.
Never been done before. Something that no one has ever, unless you're Wrigley's.
Listen, everybody
or
out
Spearman.
There, hashtag gum.
Bazooka Joe doesn't even hashtag gum.
Hashtag Adam's gum. Got to make hashtags, dude. That's where the money is.
Is it?
I don't know.
When you post on Instagram or Twitter, yeah. How big into hashtags are you? Because some people pride themselves.
Yeah, I try not to. I'll do one or two, maybe three. I think once you go past that, you're doing it like as a joke. Like Kevin Hart does it well, but he'll do 40 hashtags.
Are they funny?
Yeah, they're funny. And
or is
then
this real?
End,
like, where you can see a picture sometimes of a comedian will post a gig in Arizona, maybe myself, and they'll post like the picture of them and the comics on stage, and they'll put hashtag stand up, hashtag comedy, yeah. Hashtag Arizona, hashtag buddies on stage.
Yeah.
Like, just what's happening?
I think Kevin starts with like hashtag strive for greatness, hashtag hard work pays off. But then as it goes, it'll be like hashtag too many hashtags. Hashtag, so he like gets it.
All right, that's funny.
God, he's the best.
He is the best. You know, I got to act with him. I'm on an episode of Real House Husbands playing his agent, playing Russell Simmons' agent.
Really?
It's me. I got to improv with Kevin Hart and Russell Simmons.
Oh, that's amazing.
It comes
amazing.
Out in November. But and here's the thing. I had two lines, and they were like, and again, we were just talking about, because you just got something that was straight offer, because you're at the point to where sometimes you don't have to audition.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Hell yeah.
So this was a straight offer, but they were like, it's two lines. But they're like, but you get to improv with Kevin. And I was like, well, then for sure I want to do it.
Yeah.
And then I turned it into probably like 10 lines.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, Kevin was like, gave me a big high five. And he's like, man, way to turn a mole into a, wait, way to turn a, an ant into a molehill? What's the saying? Way to turn a molehill into a mountain. That's what he said.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he was like, because basically, I'm Russell Simmons' agent. We're at dinner, and Kevin comes up and pitches Russell his idea, and I kind of interrupt him, like, what the fuck? We're having dinner. And then I'm like, all right, what's your idea? And he pitches me the idea. And so I just kept chiming in and interrupting him and asking questions.
Yeah.
Because he was so, dude, the dude is so locked in. Like,
yeah.
He's producing and writing that show, and then on his BlackBerry in between takes, and then when he steps in for a take, spits out a whole monologue, and then when I was like, I'm gonna try to fucking jab in some improvs and see if I can get some more lines, and dude, he didn't miss a beat, and like yes anded everything I did, which made my part bigger.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's the man. Okay, you just burped and blew into the mic. That's a little 5:30 whiskey breath from Brent Moore, who walked 9 miles to get here.
Jesus, why did I do that?
You had a meeting at Paramount, and then I called you. And I was
meeting
like,
sounds cool. I had an audition for a show to play a hot guy, and everybody was so hot in the room. Like, charming, too. Charming. A guy had his own little water bottle that he brings to auditions, which means that he knows. It's fucking frustrating.
They've got a whole other set of, like, things.
Boots. They had good boots on, too. not like boots that worked. Pants, they were just tailored.
And you were saying they all knew each other.
And they're doing this.
There's an underground hot guy club, man.
Like, what's up, bro? I'm like, but like hot guy, not like Jared Leto hot guy with their dresses in silk. This is the hot guy who has like a good, like a really good photo of him with his golden retriever next to a truck where you're where you're like, okay, all right. Yeah. Like you might.
And that was one of four trucks he decided to pick to put in the picture.
And he's just kind of like, I just love the outdoors. Oh, I love my wife.
Jesus.
I'm, you know, possibly slightly racist, but like not.
Yeah, but in a fun way.
Yeah, just kind of.
I'm a fun racist.
Just kind of like my dad was like this because he used to build shit out of wood. And so I inherited some of those points, but then I rebel and like marry someone black or
and
something.
Then you're like, well, shit, so yeah.
I mean, you know, because then they have the cool looking kids with the blue eyes.
Yeah, and ooh, he's always got some like,
I don't even know.
Just created an alternate family. The cool looking kid with the blue eyes.
I was like, first off, I was about to say, was that inappropriate? And I said, is that it? I just said, is that inappropriate?
Oh my God.
Jesus, Brent. Point is, I bombed the audition for it's a two scene audition.
Jesus, where you get to possibly make love to
Brooklyn Decker.
Jesus,
which
if you don't know who she is, by the way, get outside of the house or get the internet so you can Google.
She's always outside.
You know, I got to do a video with her, and Divine and Payman Benz back
Jesus.
In the day. For Tyler Spindell, he was doing some short commercials for Just Go With It, you know, because he gets to Sandler's nephew. He gets to direct scenes, and he got to do some stuff for Sony, and we're doing a viral video, and it was Brooklyn playing poker with the guys, but she was, like, more gross and more of a dude than we were.
Yeah.
And so it was Adam, myself, Payman Benz playing poker, and Brooklyn Decker. She couldn't have been cooler.
Yeah.
She also couldn't have been hotter.
Yeah.
She,
how tall is she?
Dude, 6'9". She came in 34 double D, 32 pant waist. That's not her. That was her my sizes when I was 12. But she, I was a fat kid. She was so, dude, no makeup, just like, and just chumming it up with us. And then I'm just like, you know, hot and that cool. And she was like, just game for anything. And then I saw her in New York when I was visiting friends at SNL, and she was there watching the taping, and I see her at the after party, and I'm like, I just did this video with her. That's grounds to go see what's up. So I go up to her, I go, Brooklyn, and she goes, hey, and I'm like, doesn't matter, she doesn't know my name, that's fine. The big hey, if you don't give a name right away, you know they don't, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't need Brooklyn Decker to remember, you know, my birth. I just need to see the face and go, and not go, I'm sorry, but you can tell if the hay is coated in a who the fuck are you?
Know? It's like six E's are in there. Like, hey! Then you're like,
because they extend the hay so that you'll maybe fill it in with, like, you remember me from the, and they can continue the hay and do yay! No, I don't really know.
It helps them think too. Yeah. Hey,
it's a stalling mechanism.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, all right, so you possibly would have gotten to.
What happened after you said hey? Did you guys talk?
Did we?
Or was it a walk by?
No, it was a crosswalk, and it was like, "You going to the party?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I go, "She goes, you going too?" I go, "Yeah." I go, "We should call up our boy Tyler and see if we can do another." Like I tried to call back.
Which is nice. That's actually a really good way to bring it up for her to be
and
like,
then she
"Oh
goes,
yeah."
And she didn't skip a beat. She goes, "I know, right?" She goes, "God, I was such a pig that day because she had to stuff her food and was out faced with food." I go, "No, you look great. You still look great." And then I was like, "Well, God, all right, man, Tony." Down a notch. Crosswalk pick-me-ups.
Anyway, I'll see you there, Andy Roddick.
How's Andy doing? His last game last week. Anyway, you're already gone on the other side.
I saw him cry, and you cried. And that made me cry watching it. All right.
Yeah.
I'll see you at the thing. Do you have a plus one?
Oh, God. Yeah. Has that happened to you? I mean, you have now gotten to be around some pretty...
cool people.
Well, women, famous women. Like you were just telling me when you and Divine were in Vegas. And,
that's right.
And how we were talking about how, you know, he's our buddy. We know he's famous, but it's going to another level because you were saying
you don't know
who
how
was coming up to him.
He is. Well, the thing was like, and he would say this too, he was presenting for a band named Bastille. And it was like, we
can they do the
I'm gonna be an optimist about this, that song.
Okay,
which,
well,
by the way,
kinda, yeah,
I gotta be honest with you, I had fucking zero idea who they were.
But you heard the song.
Yeah, I knew the song, but we were both wondering how do you pronounce this, because we didn't know if, like, you don't want to get out there and be Bastille, and they're like,
oh, Jesus, and do it with an accent like
you
just did.
Bastille. but we were like, we go there straight from a jet. We're on a private jet with Randy Couture. And it was weird, and I could tell I was, and I know Adam was. I can only speak for myself, but I know for a fact that I was trying to get him to laugh, and I got him to laugh. He wasn't paying attention.
Couture?
To us. Yeah, but he would laugh sometimes, and yeah. I was like, yeah, hell yeah,
checkmate.
Technically, I beat you up right there.
Yeah.
That's in my head.
That's our form of victory.
And then he came in the same car with us. He was with he's on Dance with the Stars. He was with Karina something. She's a dancer on it.
Sure.
And so it was the four of us in this car to the event, because Adam and I had to go from the jet to the event, which, because it's like,
by the way, that's what's great about just events like that, where they're star studded, is like, you're going to be traveling with, like, I mean, there's, think about the combos that have existed out there. There's probably been, like, Carrot Top, Harrison Ford, Tia Tequila, and fucking Jonathan Taylor Thomas, all chilling in a private jet. They're all presenting
that's
at the
greatest
We Hate
ever.
AIDS benefit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's it. Honestly, because I didn't know anything about it. He said, hey, do you want to go on a private jet to the iHeartRadio thing?
How many hours prior?
It was a day before. Because
I would guess you'd need 5 minutes to even consider yes or no.
Yeah, first thing went through my head. I go, I got to show at the factory. And I said, what the fuck? No.
What am I doing?
I'm going. And then I went. We're on the jet. And as we're going to the jet, because I don't know much, I was thinking, is it just me and Adam on a jet alone? And then he goes, I wonder who else is going to be on this jet with us. And I went, oh, okay. So I said, I had zero idea what's going on here.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, it'd be other people from the event. And I just said, please be Harry Styles. Because I knew that they were there. Here's the other thing. I didn't know how big this festival was. I looked it up when I was in Atlanta in the airport because I was bored. And I said, oh, let me see who's on this festival.
I think it's bigger than the Grammys.
It was like Taylor Swift, Coldplay, One Direction, Nicki Minaj. Like Chris Brown was there. Usher was there. It
KP?
Was, who's KP?
Fuck, dude. Katy Perry. Come on.
Oh, no. Katy wasn't there. Katy would probably be a fan of Adam's, too. That would be cool.
If that blew my mind.
But like, yeah.
Who was coming up to him?
Well, what happened was, then he goes and we go out there right away at the event. And you see, like, they were like, do you want to see what it looks like? And we're like, yeah, because we're backstage. So we go, and Taylor Swift is opening the show. And so we're watching Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I saw the video you guys posted.
Just kind of being goofy and fun. But then Adam takes a moment. He goes, oh, shit. And I go, what? He goes, I have to go up there. Because it's like you forget that you're like have to present.
Because you're at a concert.
Because they had different celebrities presenting different bands, because it's 20-minute sets. And I was like, well, let's see. Because Ryan Seacrest was presenting Coldplay. So we were like, let's see how he does it. You get an idea what it's going to be like.
Taking a page out of Seacrest's book.
Seacrest
crushes it.
Amazing. This is what he does. And we could see the prompter. And Adam's like, good, there's a prompter. And it's huge and stuff. And then I'm watching prompter and listening to him. And he's ad-libbing a little bit, but just making it grammatically correct. So not only is he reading this perfectly, he's correcting it making it better.
That's
pro. And I was like,
status.
Dude, this guy's got
it. He's done
it
before.
Yeah.
Adam's a fucking star, dude.
Then I stayed and watched Coldplay. And then I found the VIP lounge. And ran into Skylar Stone, a buddy of ours.
Yeah.
Probably been on this.
Yeah.
And free drinks. I was just gone. And then I was like, well, I got to get a picture of Adam. And so there's the main stage, and they have this stage, like the same, it's in the other direction.
Yeah.
And so he's on that stage. His mic's not on for the first 20 seconds.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, oh, boy. You know, some people chatting and stuff.
And
but
you
he's
have
like,
no idea.
But you just see his mouth moving because it's a big jumbo trauma, nothing coming out. And then he just goes, Bastilles, when you hear it, like, kick in. And then he comes back to us. Well, first I go, where are you? I'm in this VIP lounge on the side of the stage. You got to come this way because this is where everybody was. Everybody was kind of like hot chicks and stuff.
So you could go from the VIP lounge back into the audience. You could just kind of
go back
in
the audience, or I can go backstage. So it was like,
who were you seeing, by the way? This is like,
Who was I seeing?
Yeah.
Coldplay killed it.
I mean, like, as you're walking back and forth, though.
You see people. I saw Chris Brown. I saw, like,
you said Jennifer Lawrence stopped Adam.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what happened, because Adam has to do press in the back, and he says, like, he gets a tap on the shoulder, and it's Jennifer Lawrence, and she's just like, oh, you're hilarious. And
fuck.
I was like, Jesus, man. And I was like, do you ever think, like, you know, we're at the improv, and like, do you ever think this, how cool this is? And he's like, yeah. Like, he's not aware of it.
Yeah.
He goes, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, man.
The best is Chris Brown, though, because, like, he was walking by, and he had, like, some big ass dudes with him, and he would just walk by, and he looked intimidating as shit. He's taller than you think. Walks right by me because we're going this way, he's going the other way, and he just sees Adam and still not smiling. Goes, "What's up, man?" And Adam's like, "What's up, dude?" And like pats Adam on the back as he continues to walk, and Adam's in front of me, and I'm like kind of like looking back and forth, and I go, "Adam." He's like, "Yeah." I go, "That was Chris Brown." He goes, "I know." I go, "You know Chris Brown?" He goes, "No." I go, "But he knew you." He's like, "Yeah." And I go, and Adam goes, "My life is awesome."
Yeah,
which is
man.
Just kind of like, because we're two comics still at this fucking event. Yes. Like, Jesus.
Because guess what? Where'd you come from prior to that? Like, a gig?
Yeah,
where,
in Atlanta.
That's awesome.
200 seats.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're around college kids that are like...
Yeah, didn't know who I was and are just kind of like there because they're like, let's do this
the
before
event.
We drink. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it was cool.
That is... That's a crazy, because you just don't. Also, what's funny is that like Chris Brown and Jennifer Lawrence, all these people who aren't comedians. I was just talking about this today with a buddy. People, everybody wants to be funny. Mm-hmm. Being funny is the shit. Mm-hmm. And if you're a pro at it and you're fucking like, it's what you do. Like Chris, like these guys probably they genuinely dig his shit, but they're also just like, man, like that's. I mean, don't you hear all the time people tell you like I could never do what you do stand up wise, man.
Yeah.
And we don't think twice about it because we're doing.
I know.
It. But I mean, like I had some this dude come up to me a show a couple nights ago, and you know, people that try to pitch you about their they found out you're funny or they're like, you got to meet my friend who's funny or like I can't tell you how many girls I'll run into that are just like. After they find you're a comic, they're like, I'm actually pretty funny myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually, like, friends tell me I could be, like everybody wants
I could
to
do
be.
Stand-up.
So I meet this couple. I'm going to this wedding this weekend, right?
Friend
of a friend. And I meet the couple in Arizona, and they come to my show at least. So at least I was able to, like, have some give and take, and, like, I gave them tickets. They came to the show.
Yeah.
And it was great. So, like, we had some sort of meeting before I just go to their wedding, and they don't know me, you know, and I'm sitting at their wedding. But it was a classic case of, we're having some funny banter. At one point, I go, you know, hey, and just to let you guys know, when I go to weddings, like, I'm a big crystal meth is my thing when I go. Like, that's just what I do. I'll pop out of the cake, probably, even if it's not equipped for people to come out of.
Yeah.
I figure it out because meth is just, like, very great for problem solving. And I just go on this whole thing, and they're, like, you know, laughing, and then they start adding on to, like, yes, we have a crystal meth table. And joking.
Nice.
And so then the dude, but then now there's a pressure on non-comedians when you open the gates like that sometimes for them to either. Add in, they feel like they have to like join in on the funny or just sit back. And hey, I'm telling you right now, people, if you naturally have the funny bone in you, jump aboard the fucking bit boat.
Yeah.
But if you don't, stay off it and swim back to shore because
get on that boring raft
and go back and fucking finish the barbecue with the family that's on the beach. This guy then starts going, yeah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, Santa Barbara. Like, that's where the wedding is. I'm like, I used to date a girl in college up there. I love it up there. And he's like, yeah, I used to date a girl up there too. He's like, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, the good old days. And then looks at his, like, fiance. And he tried to make a joke, like, and that was his way of being like, right, comedian, fucking. And I just kind of, and it was so weird.
Yeah.
And I go, what? And I look at her and she looks at him like, what?
Yeah.
And then I go, nah, he meant like the good old 90s when Slip and Slides first came. Like, and so what time is the wedding on Friday? Like, and I just quickly tried to shift gears. So it's like, dude, just why'd you have to make it so weird?
And you're going to this wedding now, or you already did the wedding?
No, I'm going to it on Friday
in Santa Barbara.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
All right, I'll go.
I mean, dude, I feel like you and I would rip up a wedding, dude.
It'd be funny. I like any
you, me,
kind of
Santino,
experience
and Divine
would be the best. That'd be
great. Throw in Glassman too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. But Rick has to actually like drink and stuff and hang. Although he'll dance, he kind of gets funny when he dances.
He goes pretty crazy.
We've been dancing at nightclubs in Hollywood.
Yeah,
like,
dude, talk about this real quick, man. I feel like so season two of Undateable is coming out. First of all, let me just preface with Brent is here because he's one of my great friends, and he kills it on the podcast. And it's Brad, my co-host, got a radio DJ job up in San Fran.
Yeah.
He's now 5 to 9 a.m. on Live 105 in San Francisco.
Does he like it?
Yeah, he does.
Nice.
The adjusting to 5 to 9 a.m. is not easy.
Yeah,
like, he's going to bed. I'll be texting with him, and all of a sudden at 7:45, he's like, all right, man, I got to go to bed. I'm like, that sucks.
What about stand-up? It's hard
cancel
to
all his road dates.
Wow.
Because he just can't. He's doing some shit locally. He's going to do some, like, I think a monthly show at Cobb's and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
But he does dig. He was on the road 42 out of 52 of the weeks last year.
Oh,
so he loves being in town and having weekends now.
Yeah.
And San Fran's great. The money's
say.
Great. And something different, man. He's going to not stop doing stand-up, but That being said, you know, Brad and I are still, he's coming down this weekend. We're going to knock out a couple podcasts, but every now and then we got to get some fill-ins.
Hell yeah.
And I love that you're a staple for that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I like it too.
But Undateable's coming back.
It's coming back, man. I'm excited.
When do you guys start taping again?
December. We start in December. Writers go back in 2 weeks. They just finished, like, I think, hiring the writers. John DeWalt and his wife were hired.
No shit.
Do you know Matt Hofstetter? Dude that he's doing a movie with Chris. He's been in the he's friends with me and Chris. He's a writer.
Okay.
A lot more movie stuff. But they hired him too, and he's boys with us.
Wait, maybe I did. I think I just
he's
actually
got glasses and
yes,
shit.
Yes, dude. He's yeah. a dope guy.
Yeah, I like him. He's nice. Always calling you player and
yeah,
shit.
Dude. Yeah.
So he got hired too. So I was just kind of like, oh, we're stacking up. Like yeah. with friends
dude,
and shit.
So people that know your voices.
Yeah,
dude, John
people that could have
and
fun.
And
Allison
are going to crush it for
and
you.
New generation people too. Like with Steaky and all them and yeah. Bill. Killing it. Fuck.
Also,
I'm excited.
Season, yeah, dude.
I just want to work.
Did you? Of course.
It's fun.
Did you think you were going to get a season 2?
I was on the fence. I was like, I would say 50-50.
How much do you pay attention to ratings and reviews and all that stuff?
More than you can imagine, because I was just kind of like...
Because you're on a show. You're
yeah,
on a network
on
show.
A show.
You want to read everything about it.
I just want to see, like I was like, well, what numbers did we get? And then I was like, well, we were so-and-so in the demo, and like overall we had this, which was better than projected on this. And I started thinking, like, Jesus, man, when you dream about being on something like this, you never think that you're going to be doing all the statistical
yeah.
like thinking.
Yeah.
But then you start getting into it. Now it becomes like, oh, you know what, though? We had a 0.9, but we went up against LeBron. LeBron pulled a so-and-so, and actually this show pulled a such-and-such, and we didn't dip in the second. So you think, like, so we got about a 44% chance of coming back. Like, this is in your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And really, we don't know shit. Like, we're like, oh, it's not a good thing, man. Like, when they put us back-to-back episodes, I thought it might be a good thing because I thought people watch shit in order. They just like to watch things right away. If they don't, then I feel like they'd check out.
Yeah.
I feel like if we were back like one episode a week at that point, like coming out that way with
yeah.
a show full of people that nobody knows in the summer,
yeah.
I feel like people wouldn't really pay attention. They'd watch one and then forget about it, even if they thought it was funny. But they went back to back, and we didn't dip from each episode because I think people just... Most people are lazy and don't want to move, and they just leave it on.
Yeah.
They like it enough to be like, well, let's see what else it's got.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reaction they have.
What was your
lead?
And
it gets better. Oh, jeez.
And by the way, for you non-TV people.
Hollywood Game Night.
Yeah. Lead-in means what show came on before
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so it was a Hollywood Game Night. So I'm hoping this year we get a nice winter.
Maybe some ER reruns or something.
Yeah. ER, bring Clooney back.
ER
All Clooney episodes. I'd watch.
Are you kidding me? If they just did a clip show of Clooney ER clips.
Just do Clooney bloopers.
By the way, Clooney Bloopers is playing at the Troubadour next Saturday at 7:30. Clooney Bloopers!
This is what I'd be thinking of as an exec, and I'd be making millions. Because they'd be like, dude, he just did Clooney Bloopers, like 10-episode season. All the bloopers from anything he's done in his career.
Are you kidding me? Who wouldn't watch a whole season of Clooney Bloopers?
Just do Clooney
CBs?
Bloopers.
Oh, my God.
And then you could do any bloopers.
Tweet at Brent and I.
Brad Pitt
slips. Hashtag Clooney bloopers.
and Brad Pitt slips. Those are the two.
Pitt slips and Clooney bloopers.
Those two are coming out.
Oh, my God.
I'll do it myself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Just making millions off shit that's already happening.
I'm telling you, that's...
That's the future of television. Son of a bitch.
All right. So you're now the season 2 is coming back.
Yeah.
I've been seeing you post a lot of pictures of you at clubs and bars.
Yeah.
With famous people and non-famous people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just living it up.
Shit,
a lot
cool.
of like Brent stoic, like I'm fuck. Like, and here's
we
what
had a night. Didn't we have? We went
we had
out
a great night.
We had two or three good nights.
I wish I hung out more, man. Because
yeah,
I
don't know
blast.
Where you are. Where are you? I'm always around.
I know,
that's
man.
Sad. Well, I've been on the road a lot this summer, but I'm kind of around. Like, you know, we go to these fun places.
Yeah.
Hyde. Went to a birthday party.
Anytime you go to a club,
actor.
Ask me, because you know I'm
yeah.
a fun time.
Yeah, that would be great.
But, and I know that because just from hanging out too, it's like, when I'm drunk, I make a visibly drunk face in a picture if it's being taken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're drunk, you fucking model it up, dude. And you get so stoic and you fucking like act like everything's together.
Yeah.
Even though you're probably moments away from A, puking, or B, falling over.
That was me in Vegas.
But these people post on these things being like, and you know, you're a good looking guy, so you got these stoic photos, these fucking, but you're just like so like just looking at the camera like everything's great. And I'm
yeah.
like, these people don't even know.
I'm
he probably
gone.
Fell over
I'm
right
gone.
Before the picture was taken.
Oh, gone. Probably threw up.
Yeah.
Just keep going. And but because what, picture, I got to focus. And sometimes it's like, if I'm really drunk, I'm like, come on, you got this. And so then I end up looking like an asshole because then it's like the guy you hate in photos. I might as well be doing pursed lips.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody
Brad
next
Pitt
to me
slips.
Shit fit. Yeah, just kind of like, yeah. Brad Pitt slip nips. Lips. Nips?
Brad Pitt nip slips?
I feel like Brad would hang, you know?
What just happened to your voice there?
I'm losing my voice. I don't know why. Well, I hope it's not from drinking. Not that I'm doing it every day. I have recently.
I said this to somebody the other day. I had to take a break, man. You know, I was just up in Seattle babysitting my nieces for a week by myself.
Yeah.
I was Mr. Mom, dude. And I had to take a break from drinking because I said to myself, I was like, you know what? I don't drink a lot. I was like, only when I do shows. And then somebody was like, when do you do shows? I go, 2 or 3 times a night, every night. I go, so you drink every night? I go, okay, man, fucking take it easy. Why don't you mind your own business? But it's like, but I don't get fucked up every night. It's like getting drunk is like, I don't know. Maybe once every couple weeks, or I also have a good tolerance, I guess. But I got four years on you here and there,
but then like this last weekend killed me. I was on a 4-day bender because it was played at college, and then I was boozing there for a second. Then I fly home. I went to Vegas for the weekend. That was day and night.
How did you handle it? You just think you're invincible at this point, don't you?
No, I don't know why. Because in my head, I'm going, I gotta not. Well, Vegas, I was like, this is the only time I'm not doing a show on a weekend in like 2 years. And I'm like, I'm gonna go out. We got all this fun
paid
stuff.
For. Come
yeah,
on.
It's great. Even though I spent
you're
so
hanging
much
out
money.
With Bastille. What are you gonna like? You know,
Bastille.
Carpe Diem is.
I just wanted Harry Styles to hang, dude.
Did you really?
Yeah, I like that kid.
What?
He's fun.
You've seen him before?
I've never met him, but I've heard nothing but good things. Sure. And he's kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, come on.
He seems cool, and it's also kind of. It's just a funny sentence. Like, where are you? Dinner with Harry. You know, it's like Brent's with Harry Styles.
Yeah, Connick Jr. is where I would go with that.
Yeah, that's fun, too. What about,
yeah,
who's another
fun
one?
Too. It's fun. Yeah, that's a fun to suggest
to
Harry.
You think about fun hangs.
Harry and the Hendersons? Like, what different Harrys would you be hanging with?
Well, it's like if, oh, come on, Brent, find one. If John Lithgow or if, like, fucking Nathan Lane was hanging out here. But, like, even better than that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can come up with some better examples.
Like, if Brad Pitt...
There you go.
Was just hanging out here. That's funny. If you're at like a fancy dinner with Brad Pitt, that's like, ooh, that's nice. That's a story. That's cool.
Yes.
But if Brad Pitt is hanging out here, like if you're like, what are you doing right now? Me, Adam, Brad are just kind of hanging. He's hanging out. We're doing a podcast. You know, and he's just on the couch on his phone and shit. And we're just like, what are you doing, BP? Like, what are you doing? And he's just like, told you not to call me that. You know, I'm for that cause. And I'm like, yo, me too, man. I get it. I'm just like, Jesus, Brad can't take a joke. Fucking Brad Pitt slips. And it's like, can't deal with it. Or like if Clooney's using your bathroom and shit and just hanging.
I mean.
Eating cereal. And you're like, dude, get off the mic.
Talking about a NyQuil dream I had 2 weeks ago.
Like, that's kind of funny to me. Like, if Derek Rose and I are at Dupar's. You know,
Jesus Christ! How many celebrity hangout fantasies do you have?
Well,
I'm
trying to think of these right now on the spot, but I'm thinking like it's one.
You
thing
went from John Lithgow to Derrick Rose in less than a minute.
Well, last time we talked about how athletes are the only ones I really get starstruck by,
for sure.
Which any like professional athlete, I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
you know.
Are you? Did you hear about Keith Olbermann shitting on Derek Jeter recently?
Who shits on... I'm a Red Sox fan, I don't shit on Jeter.
I'm going to have to send you this link. Keith Olbermann on his show. And Keith Olbermann, I used to dig him. He's an idiot, man. And I don't care if he listens to this podcast. And
if he does, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Keith, what's up, man? Thanks for listening, dude. But he goes on a probably 5-minute... He's great for these long rant monologues. He's like really spot on. He probably writes it all, and he just delivers it like he's not even reading a prompter. It's just all coming from his brain to the mouth. And he shits on Jeter, being like, he's not that big of a deal. He goes, if you're in your 30s, Jeter is what you think of when you think of the Yankees. He goes, it takes you to be 41 or 42 to understand that there's so many better Yankees. He goes, Jeter's won, 3 World Series? He goes, he's not that great. But he just basically, doesn't tear him down, but goes, fucking chill out, man. Him retiring is not that big of a deal.
Ew.
And I'm like... Yo, dude.
He's like the face of the Yankees.
Yeah, and it's like 20 seasons, dope, pretty much all 20 seasons.
Also, oh man, I wish I was with him so I could have said something. I was like, here's how you judge greatness. He's in New York City, where if you don't perform, they shit on you more than any city. Like, it's really like,
and they never
fuck you, get out of here.
Yeah.
But it's like, Jeter's like the one dude I've noticed never gets the shit.
Nope.
He's always like, in that locker room, A-Rod must have been like, I don't want to talk to you right now,
so
Jeter.
Pissed.
He's like, don't blame me because I'm liked. You know, like, that shit had to happen.
Yeah.
Because he's never hated. He's like, everybody's going to, and I'm a Red Sox fan, born and raised New England Red Sox fan. It's 50-50 where I'm from. It's either Red Sox or Yankees. That's it. Like, school divided all through high school, everything. And even I don't hate Jeter. And so many Red Sox fans don't hate Jeter, which is makes no – how did he do this? How does nobody hate him?
Yeah.
Except this fuck.
Except Oberman. Something personal must have happened. You know, apparently Jeter, you know, for his hookups, he gives these gift bags.
Gift bags. That's even nice.
Which, by the way, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Think about what you've given to a girl that you've hooked up with that's been like
– That's an easy STD joke. I skipped it.
Okay.
Because you never know.
You know, I wasn't going that route. I was thinking of actual tangible things. Like,
I don't know what I've given.
Did you give her
I've
like the rest of the
take things?
You've gotten robbed.
Yeah, shorts, basketball shorts go away a lot
for sure. Yeah,
and I'm like,
can I borrow a tank top? It's your favorite tank top. You in the heat of passion.
Uber.
You were thinking
I'll get like an Uber, and then it's like 5 minutes.
So
away,
Brent Moore will get you an Uber and basketball shorts. Derek Jeter gives you a Rolex or like
a gift bag, signed jersey, gives all that stuff.
$100 gift certificates to Morton Steakhouse. I mean,
does he?
I don't know, man. I'm just thinking of stuff I would want if I fucked them. But it's like, you think,
cleats. I want cleats.
Cleats, yeah. Maybe a little, a signed framed picture of like the plate from one of the World Series.
Yeah, that and some cleats that I could have in my living room. Yeah. Like, this one I fucked Jeter. This is undateable poster. Yeah. You know, shit like that.
He doesn't have to do that, by the way. He doesn't have to give stuff out.
Yeah,
Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to hint at is maybe Olbermann didn't get a gift basket one night. Maybe he showed up, or maybe he knows a girl that didn't get a gift basket.
His wife was probably
there. It is
taken down. Jesus.
Oh God! You hear that, Olbermann? It's we're coming bad. After your
no,
wife now. Too.
No, we're sorry. Why am I? You know, I'm done apologizing. I say things; they mean things.
What?
I'm sorry.
What?
Where is my voice going?
Well, it probably all right. So you got
it's probably booze.
Grab some more of that booze. You got to talk about, I think what did it is the Oddball Tour. And if you don't know what the Oddball Tour is, Brent Morin was one of the lucky. Dude, I mean, I don't know. Like, if we look at on paper that lineup, and I'm not. You know what I'm not going to say? I'm not going to say that there's no reason you shouldn't be on that because. But let's look at the lineup. The greats. Like, name who was on this tour. This tour went all over the country, like 10,000 to 15,000 seat amphitheaters.
Yeah, man.
And all over the country.
16,000 in Camden. It was crazy.
16,000 in Camden.
Yeah.
Camden Yards?
Oh, man. Camden, Jersey.
Okay.
Which is kind of
shady. Was it really?
I mean, it was nice there, but I heard it's like a murder capital or something.
What did you murder on stage? God, it set you up for that.
Dude, it was great. I mean, it was like.
Name the people on this tour and then throw yourself in there.
Louis C.K. headlining. Aziz Ansari, Bill Burr, Jim Gaffigan, Jim Jeffries, Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer.
Whitney Cummings. Dave Chappelle making
appearances. Dave Chappelle, Chris D'Elia, but nobody likes him.
Reggie Watts.
Mark Maron, if I'd said that. Dimitri Martin. So basically everybody who's like in the mindset of comics made it.
Yes.
And then
there's only a handful
of
Gerard
Carmichael.
Yeah.
Me, D'Elia, I would say, with
Funches.
Like the two. Funches, Ron Funches. It was kind of.
You say you
who
were
else? Nate Bergazzi.
Yeah,
did a couple. Moshe Kesher.
Yeah.
Did a couple. Yeah, it was.
And you got and you were telling me when you got called because you did the side stage last year.
Yeah,
there was
there was
a smaller stage, and they were like, "You're doing it this year." And like, cool, the side stage, fucking bring it.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand why they were asking me to do side stages in other cities.
Yeah,
because Irvine, it was like a 40-minute car ride.
Yeah.
That was like, hey, you want to do 10 minutes on a side stage when people walk by and hopefully people stop and listen? I was like, sure. And then
maybe
you can go backstage when the show starts.
Hopefully they don't walk by and get too confused and angry that the side stage wasn't bare naked ladies, but it's actually comedy.
Yeah. And it's just, which I was shocked. They were actually awesome. The second stages were great because everybody's there for comedy.
Yeah.
You forget that. You think people are just like, shut up. Where's Aziz?
Chris Hardwick was on the tour.
Chris Hardwick. Why would he? I love Chris.
So you,
fuck.
What is it like?
Forget Chris.
What is it like? So you all travel by plane to each city.
Yeah.
And then you meet backstage and you're just kicking it with the greats.
Yeah.
And you're going up first?
Somewhat. I was first. It was, Jesus. And Jeff Ross and Brody Stevens, too.
Yeah.
Because they would host. And Jeff Ross, it was just like, it was set up for success. Jeff would do like 15, 20 in front of me. People already know who Jeff is, so it helped people sit and like get ready. Yeah. And then, so by the time I was up, it was
would he
like
roast
already.
The crowd, or could he not?
Because yeah,
too
he
many
would.
People.
Right. He would, because they gave him like an iPhone where he could like show people.
That's
and then
incredible.
It would be on a Jumbotron.
That's incredible.
And it was like, they were like, you want to try this? And he was like, fuck yeah, I want to try it. And then, of course, he just was amazing at it. Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's.
Tell people what I just did.
Yeah.
Tell
oh my
what
God.
Tell people what I just did.
Oh Jesus! Adam just tried to kill a moth. I think
with which, his iPhone,
with
left-handed.
His iPhone.
Guess what?
Opposite had to be opposite hand because the swing he made was so dainty. It was
I
so.
Felt like...
Take that over, Ben.
Oh God! Please, nobody post video of that.
Just
Yeah,
is what I expected to come out.
That's what happened in my
head. And you missed, I think.
In my head, the sound I went was, come here, man. Come here, you moth.
Just went away.
I missed? No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? You got it?
Do you see a moth flying around in my vicinity?
I think he's on the ground laughing.
Holy shit, there he's next
to
the light switch.
Oh, man. I love when people search to see what they should hit with.
Give me some play-by-play.
And there he goes. He's got a Seattle Seahawks Nerf ball. Moth is unaware, just enjoying his life, probably walking up to his family. He's taking a little time. Adam took a little too much time. And the moth flew away.
I let
he
him
swung.
Fly away and then I gave
did it with the right hand now. Worked a lot better.
Clearly a stronger hand, as you can
that
see,
was great.
Right?
That was perfect.
A lot more force and
great
determination.
Great form there.
Thank you, by the way.
It's like one of the hot guys by the truck with a golden retriever for when they kill their moths.
Holding the
football. Hot
guys don't kill moths. They find them, they bring them back to their families.
I see.
They get their families like a new house.
Outdoors hot guys are great guest stars.
Outdoors hot guys.
Clooney bloopers and outdoor hot guys.
Are you intimidated when you're hanging around all these guys? Or at this point...
I was actually more nervous for how guys like Mark Maron and like Hardwick and guys that don't see me do stand-up or like Aziz would think if I was funny more than the crowd. Because I was like, in my head, I was like, bombing is one thing, but bombing while people you look up to... Oh, by the way, Jim Jeffries also on it, Michael Che on it. Bombing while people you look up to are like on the side of the stage and having to walk through that and then being like, because everybody on Sarah Silverman, I don't know if I said it, but everyone that was on the tour besides like Chris and Ron and like Hannibal Buress and Jeff Ross, like I knew them. You know, I knew them enough where I could be like, hey, man, how you been? You know?
To where you could feel comfortable being like, I'm supposed to be on this tour.
Yeah, which is like, not even felt like being on this tour, but enough where I'm like, I'm going to talk to you guys.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You know? I was lucky because I met Maron once in Montreal, and I just liked his vibe. He has this kind of East Coast, like, fuck you, you know, kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And so we...
You know what he said to me real quick when I met him in Montreal, too? And actually, we were on the same show. And he just had to do three other shows that night. And his manager left, so he just looked at me and goes, do you want to roll with me to these... One second.
Moth is back. He's going to get it this time. Killed it. Stained his wall. He's probably upset about that. Hopefully a girl notices. Did you stain your wall?
Nah, I'll fucking clean that up later. A little Lysol will take care of that.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Let it dry out.
That's the first moth I've killed?
No. Everybody knows you kill a moth, you let it dry out, then you just pick away the legs. It's classic moth killing.
We're putting that in a movie. So Maron, so he invites me to his next three shows just to go hang with him
because
he wants a buddy. So we end up just hanging out the rest of the night and it was dope. And but before I go out for my set, he looks at me and he just goes, he could tell I was kind of pacing a little bit because it was my first show of the festival and I was just kind of like, right, fucking, I want to, you know, and there was I knew some industry people were there and so I'm pacing and he just taps me on the shoulder. He goes, hey man, it doesn't fucking matter. None of it matters. And I was like, luckily, I like knew who Mark Maron was enough, and we've been chummed it up enough to where I was like, he's not trying to psych me out.
Yeah.
He's trying to psych me in. He's trying to be like, dude, just fucking do what you do. What's the subtext there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in his, you know, a little bit of bitter Maron, but still seeing the upside of things, like, dude, fucking, you know what you're doing. Stop pacing and go do it.
Yeah. It's like a dad saying, like, it's like if a kid is like 0-2 count in Little League, his dad's a third base coach, calls time, pulls him over and says,
shit.
It's okay, listen, just focus, you have it, I believe in you. And he would be same exact undertone of that. He would be saying that, but what he says is, what the fuck is wrong? Just hit the ball. You got this. That's because he would do that shit with me. Well, the first show, funny shit, I saw him in the lobby of the hotel when I got there. And I was like, hey, Mark, you know, and he's like, hey. And then he goes, you nervous? You know, and this is like before I go, yeah. And he was like, we were both a little bit like, this isn't going to fucking work. It's outside. Like, that was kind of the energy.
Yeah.
And then when we were like, do you guys want to see the stage? And we got there, and we're like, yeah. Well, when we got out there, you get a little giddy because you're like, it's empty. You know, like, nobody's in there yet. So you're
and
just
it looks even
this,
bigger, right?
You're just like, oh, fuck, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool.
So
and then
fired up for it.
The best thing was the first show. And we walk out, me and Maren walk out with Jeff Ross, and we're like, oh, fucking... Maren and I both had the same reaction, which was like, oh, we'll be all right. It's going to be fine. We're going to have fun. You know, Maren kept saying that. We'll have fun. And then Maren was like, can I actually test the mic? And then thank God he did this. He goes, it's a little loud for us on this side. And so they turned it down a little bit and made it perfect. And then Jeff Ross, they were like, do you want to test your guitar? You know? So, and for me, you have to understand something. We've talked about this before. Music to me is like the fucking mecca.
Yep.
And like the goal, I think, of anybody would be to be able to play, you know, amphitheaters in the summer.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
that's like
dude.
Every...
Come on.
That's where you found love. That's what you did in high school with your friends, where you got drunk, where you totaled a car, where
fingered
you got a fight with your mom.
Fingered a chick to the Counting Crows at a winery in ninth
yeah,
grade.
That's fucking great. Jesus Christ. That's a sophisticated.
It was a great day.
You were a sophisticated ninth grader.
No, Jesus. I just got lucky.
I just grabbed a titty and ran into a porter potty. You know,
come right back to that in just a couple minutes.
Yeah, but I was 24. No, I'm kidding. Never did that. I was too scared.
No, yeah, yeah.
I just looked at a girl that I always liked and would just kind of act like I didn't like her. And then she'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, what's up? And then I'd be in the car telling my friends, like, but she said, the way yeah. she said, hey.
The way she said, hey.
You got to understand.
Let me know.
She doesn't like you, man. She's going out with Eric because
okay.
he plays
there?
Lacrosse.
Were you
like,
there?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, she likes me. I'm not wrong here. And I found out later she was fucking Eric. But, you know, you learn. And fuck her. I got to be on that stage.
Yeah.
So, but we're all out there. And so I like go and I play one of the guitars. There's two guitars.
Dude.
Just to hear it like play a little bit.
Amplified through
yeah,
the amplifier.
Because Mark
sound
leaves
system.
For a second, but then he hears like the guitars playing. And by the way, keep in mind, Jeff hasn't touched a guitar yet. I touched it first. I was like, I'll do it. I got it. I want to see this. And I'm like, cool, cool. And Jeff's so nice. He's like, fuck you, do it. And I'm playing. And then Mark's like, can I try that out? I'm not going to say no, Mark, get away. You know, yeah. we just became yeah. friends. So I'm like, yeah, take it. And Mark starts playing. He's really good. He
awesome.
Loves guitars.
Awesome.
So he starts playing kind of bluesy shit.
By the way, that's a great bonder for you now, is dude.
Not only that, he starts playing bluesy type shit. I go up to the mic and start freestyle singing.
Oh my God.
Playing with Jeff Rock. Like, this is like 10 minutes of being with all them, kind of. Like, so we're starting
the
off
first
the tour,
10 minutes.
Kind of, yeah, where he's playing like bluesy shit. And I'm like, we're playing Tampa. We'll see what happens. Like, doing all that shit.
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't know I could sing. So I'm doing that because it's like.
So Maren gives you a look of like, oh
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but he's just in it. But he's also like doing the thing where he never goes, good for you. He's just kind of like still in his shit, almost like I've heard it all.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, well, I got to sing better. And Jeff is just having fun with it, kind of playing along too, you know? And then but it was like a cool way to be like, oh, we're going to be all right, do our thing.
Dude, that's a great story.
Yeah. And then I do the first show in Tampa, and that's great. We have fun.
What is it like hearing 16,000 laugh at you?
It was great. I mean, that one was 9,000, and it was great. And then what happened is.
What do you say when you first come out? What's on this tour, what's the first thing you say?
I was only nervous.
You say, what up, Tampa? Or do you say just like, hey?
First thing I said, I got out. Jeff Ross just went up, and I know the lineup. I'm not unaware. I don't have that ego of like, I'm the shit. So I come out and I just instinctually say, I was like, I'm not going to really think about what I'm going to say when I first come out. I'm just going to feel something. I walk out. I'm like, immediately I'm compensating for how many people there are there. So I'm
by the way, this is the exact same mindset LeVar Burton had for the first taping of Reading Rainbow. He goes, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to stick to the script. I'm going to let whatever I feel
yeah.
come over me.
Yeah.
If it's about books, cool. Cause that's what the show is. But if it's about, you
fucking
know,
Star Trek.
If I want to pull in some, yeah. All right.
Just took a sip of a drink. I wasn't just icing out Adam for.
If you didn't see the drink, that did just sound like a.
It sounded like
okay,
Adam
man.
Finishing the story. But in fact, I appreciated that. And I thought in my head, I was like, I'm glad I mentioned Star Trek because now audiences at home would be like, one, who the fuck's LeVar Burton? Then they
sure.
go, Reading Rainbow. Now I know who he is.
Some people only
now
know him
Brent
from.
Know.
Yeah.
Now he knows him from Star Trek. Fuck!
Also, it shows your willingness to jump aboard the bit boat with
yeah,
me like that.
Yeah,
and that's
in.
Why you're on this podcast, man, because you're always in the bit boat
I'm
with
always
me.
In the bit boat. I'm not in that goddamn poor-ass raft riding around with poor, ugly people, fucking non-funny fucks and hot guys with golden retrievers and racist wives.
Oh, God.
Wives, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not a Nazi of English. I'm also not a Nazi. Jesus, Brent. Okay. A lot of bury me lines in here.
Oh, God.
Hey, right, I might be on the unemployed rap.
By the way, if that was a whole monologue during ER and they're like, George, just say scalpel, man.
Yeah,
and he goes off on a whole Nazi rant and they're like,
scalpel. You know, well, scalp.
That's
Indians. Jesus. I had to say Indians because people thought, like, ooh, did the Nazis scalp? And I was like, no, dude, I know English. And then I know history.
And then he says hashtag Jesus. Clooney boop bloopers.
Do you say Clooney poop? That's another hashtag.
Clooney boopers.
Hashtag Clooney boop. Here's what a Clooney boop is. Anytime you fuck up in life, you just had a Clooney boop. Clooney bloopers are like bloopers of Clooney, which please post in hashtag Clooney bloopers. But anything you do in life, like accidentally like graze a girl's tit when you're saying hi, or accidentally like spill a drink on yourself or something.
It's a Clooney boop.
That's called a Clooney bloop. Clooney boop. Jesus, Brent. Remember it. Clooney. No wonder you fucked this audition up today. Clooney boop. I hope there's thousands of... I hope it trends and people go, what the fuck is a Clooney boop? Because here's why. Clooney doesn't have boops
like a move. No.
In real life.
Clooney has zero boops.
Clooney doesn't trip.
And
I
you know what we mean
once.
By boops? skip-ups. Mishaps. faults.
For anybody at all, if you couldn't see Adam's face...
You're trying to define Clooney boop.
Because you have to have so much confidence... You have to have the most confidence to say, and you know what boops means. You know what Clooney boops means. And in my head, I go, oh, how's he going to define this? And the way his eyes did six different types of things as his brain.
Oh.
Honestly, it was like construction workers in his brain go, oh fuck, it's coming. Put the dam up. You know, because they're like, how do we figure this out?
They're how many bricks Brooklyn. Do we need for this?
And he goes, boops are... You know what they are there. And I'm like, oh shit. Because he had so much confidence. I'm like, man, how do you think of something so
I don't think
so
I've ever
fast?
Been so confident. Dude, I hope I can pitch shows with that same type of Clooney boop confidence.
Clooney boop. Fuck up an audition. Fuck up that's what it is.
Clooney
it's everything. Because you fucking you did a boop. And Clooney, one, never said boop and has never done a boop in his life.
Clooney's never booped.
Clooney's never tripped. There's never been a moment in Clooney's life where he's tripped over his own feet.
That was a trip different than a boop?
Yes. A trip is a physical interaction.
If Clooney trips, you just Clooney booped, or you just go, hey.
You can. You could say you Clooney booped because it's something Clooney would never do. Clooney boops is something Clooney would never do. So
there
fuck up with a girl, come early. That's more the sexual stuff.
Yeah.
You know, call your boss fat by accident. You know,
sure.
Like, do weird shit.
Eats off of somebody's plate without asking.
Anything where you're failing is a Clooney boop.
We'll be right back.
Fucking Clooney boops.
Oh, my God.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
I don't know either, man.
That was gold. This shit's gonna go viral. I'm so confident. I'm trying to get into new apps. I'm trying to.
Are you?
I just feel like.
What is your main social media thing? Like, first of all, when
Twitter,
you're on,
Instagram.
When
it
you're
used
on,
to be Vine.
You're over it.
Well, Vine when I first started using it was the most like it's the most followers I have. It's the most like. Like, I used to do a Vine, and, like, that's when we'd look at it. I got excited about it. We'd make them. And then something happened where I just got sick of looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, when people Vine shit.
Well, because there's a lot of stupid ones.
And also, like, it's a lot more really young people. So I do, like, a foreign film series. Like, there's people that appreciate it, but most of it's like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And I was just like, this
sucks.
Why
aren't you talking about race or showing boobs?
Yeah. And there'd be times, like, me and Rick Glassman, my neighbor, who's on the show, too. His name's Bursky on the show. He's my neighbor, and... We started like just being like, let's do a Vine today. And then next thing you know, it's like 3 hours later, we did one Vine. And we're like, perfect. No, you post. I'm posting it because it was on my thing.
Oh,
yeah, but then
Jesus.
You know what you do? You revine it, and then we'll do it like a series.
Oh, God.
Which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of like, dude,
if
that was
11,
way too much time for a Vine.
Sure.
So that was the other thing where
you're
I was
like
20s.
Can't. You're spending the entire day revolving around
which was not
video.
How I started. I used to make fun of people for that shit. And then I was like, now we're doing it. Because it was something like kind of fun of like thinking, what the fuck could I do that's funny in 6 seconds?
Yeah.
And it was, but then I just was like, I can't. So Instagram I use a lot. Once you got video on Instagram, I didn't like it. I thought it was too long, and then now I love it.
I think it's a perfect amount of
time. Now it's great.
It should be longer.
Yeah, and people I think are into it now. I think they're more into Instagram.
Totally.
At least people are.
No, you know what I'm seeing, by the way? I'm seeing big Viners go to Instagram to promote their Vines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can put
there
their Vines
you go.
In there.
Instagram, the creator of Instagram's got to be pumped.
Dude, they get it, man. Those fucking Viners, dude. I mean, there's this guy I'm friends with. He's on Vine. His name's King Batch on Vine.
Yeah, I know that kid.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Seems like
I like
he's
him.
Crushing it.
He's killing it. He was there. I saw him backstage just hanging out, confident. You know, probably been backstage before.
No Clooney boops on that guy.
No boops. That man has no boops. And if he does, it's 6 seconds and it got him 2 million views. But nice line, Brent. I couldn't do that more like Don Rickles.
Yeah.
But for anybody out there, Don Rickles is an old guy that I look up to. I said look up to.
No, but I mean, you shouldn't have to clarify it to anybody.
I shouldn't have to, but in this generation.
If you're listening to a comedy podcast.
This trash of a generation.
What do you think my demo is?
Hashtag trash cats for anybody who doesn't know who Don Rickles is.
The rival to Thundercats.
You fucking trash cats. Just making all these new hashtags. I'm telling you, man. We're gonna make millions.
When you were on the road in the Apple Tour, what was your go-to social media? Or were you so present with the experience that you were like,
no,
you know what I mean?
I made a sense. Like, everything was Instagram.
I would want to track every moment
of
that.
Yeah, I was like, because I'm the worst at it. Like, even when we did the show, this is why it was nice having Rick with me, because he was like a Jewish mother. Like, everything was exciting. Like, I know he didn't have a disposable camera, but he should have, the way he would be like, ooh, ah, you know, picture.
Wait, when?
Picture. Like, Undateable. Like, when we booked Undateable.
Okay.
The picture of my dressing room, he took. The picture of the set, he took. The
awesome.
Picture of us, like him or John DeWall, his partner in crime, took. Like, and I realized after that, I was like, I'm not trying to play it cool for school. I'm in it visually. And so it doesn't process me to be like, oh, I got to get on my phone to capture this.
Yes.
And there's been moments now in my life I go, I should have captured it. So seeing that, when I did Oddball, I was very present and like, no, I'm not only take pictures of me, but I'd take a picture of like fucking Brody or like do this. And and everybody would do it for each other. Like Chris would take a picture of me, you know, and be like, here, I got a good dope picture of you when you were on stage. Cause you'd be like, God, you got to take a picture of me on stage here. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Cause those are my best photos. Those are photos I'm going to have like blown up, I think, one day.
1,000%.
Just to have like
also,
kids
I can't...
be like, hey, you know, before I was washed up for my Clooney boops, I was able to do this tour.
I also can't imagine like any first experience like that, like, you know, and I'm sure it even happens for Adam, who's had a lot of these experiences of being on sets and around a lot of famous people. I don't know when it goes away.
Yeah.
The genuine, like, appreciation and the awe factor of, like Adam just doing that movie with De Niro. I mean, hearing his stories, it's like, sounds like he's, I don't see how you ever, maybe when we're 70, when you're like, I've done and seen it all, hopefully, you know, that you're like,
I think
it's not cool, but like, I can't imagine like when you guys first got on that set of Undateable, I would be fucking taking pictures of the chair that was like that the director was sitting like every because you're like, oh man, everything I grew up watching, I'm now a part of.
Yeah, I it's so weird. I think there was something
every emptiness episode, I'm now getting to see what that real set looks like.
And it's funny, I think because I'm on it, and it's not a low appreciation of me, but it made it feel like this isn't a real TV show. You know, like when I saw a trailer for it or something,
sure.
I was like, this is just, we're just doing a parody of the shit they actually have. You know, like
that's a great place to be, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I was like, you see, because then I'll see other ads for other shows, and I go, ooh, that looks good. You know, it's like our show, I'm kind of like,
not you.
Is this real? The lighting's different, right? Ours is cheaper, right?
Because you're putting them up on a pedestal. You're like, those are actors.
Yeah, those are actors. Those are real stars, you know?
I was just making a fucking, you know, boop-filled Vine for
doing
the entire day.
And Vine now, that Rick Glassman, because he's fucking doesn't care and he's fearless, knocked on our neighbor's door so we could use their balcony to do an action movie Vine. We're both dressed like idiots.
So
and they're
funny.
Like, okay. And like,
what was his pitch, by the way?
He goes, hey, I know this is weird. I don't even know if you know what Vine is, but we gotta do this. We gotta use your balcony. I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, you got to make this happen.
Jesus, that doesn't seem like the way to go about doing it.
Yeah, but Rick had already met her once. But, like, she was like, yeah, I know what Vine is, sure. I think she might have followed us, to be honest. Because she was like, oh, an action movie Vine. You know, where it's like, we kind of had a little follower on our action movie Vines.
They were incredible.
Yeah, we had a great time over there. But no, like those kind of things, there's two things I process in the appreciation factor of something. Because you see it on both sides. You see somebody kind of be like, do you believe the fucking food they have out here? You know, and you'll be like, no, because we're in space. Like, it'd be like, we're backstage with, like, this is part of history. Or this is, like, a great moment. And you'll see people go like, ugh, do you believe this spread? And you believe this? And then you'll see
people. On set, you're saying?
I'm saying, like, either on set or backstage at an award show or even on, like, Oddball or some shit.
And those are people that have gotten so accustomed to the lifestyle.
I think they got accustomed to it. But I think the big reason is because I think a lot of those people never had to really go through the shit. You know what I mean? I had to do every fucking thing. It took me 9 to 10 years in LA to get one thing, and it was all stand up and working and doing, being a PA, $400 a week, working 9 to 7, and then doing 40 shows a month for fucking 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So I truly appreciated and was like. And so I.
And you also didn't come up in that, like, right? You didn't grow up.
I didn't grow up, but in that, I was teachers from Connecticut and shit. So coming out here and being on that, like,
what, your folks?
Yeah, like we would sit and eat food in the living room and watch Seinfeld on Thursday because my parents are big sitcom fans. So it was
are
like,
they really?
That was like,
oh my god!
So to be on Thursday,
they
night,
must be losing their minds right now.
Yeah, they loved it. So there was like, now their son is on NBC 9 o'clock Thursday. So that was like, that's
dude,
crazy.
That's incredible.
But you can't not think about that shit. But I think the reason why some people are complaining or shitty, and this is also why I don't think they get better, or this is why they fizzle out, and you'll see it, and I can't speak for it, but you'll see a lot of like hot young actor types that just kind of fizzle out, and you're like, well, they weren't really that talented. One, yes, they weren't that talented, but two, they never worked at it because they never appreciated it. They didn't have that fucking struggle. So I think you really need to lose to appreciate a win, and I think you need to be aware that like you're on a sinking ship at some point so that you can get better and better and better. Not be fearful of shit, but kind of just be like...
If there was another moth, by the way, I would kill the fuck out of it with that speech you just gave, by the way. Like, you got to appreciate a loss to get a win. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, take it easy, Phil Jackson. I'm going to have to... Like, I might...
Well, that's why I think I didn't take pictures, because I knew that I came in, like, and people were like, wow, you know? And I'm not taking away from Rick, because he's appreciating it in the same way, but a different way.
Yes.
But my way was, don't fuck this up. Let's do the best possible job I can do. Because this, I could be fired. Something could happen.
Yeah.
Like, I booked it, but it could go away.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that whatever happens when this is over, whether it gets picked up or not, I'm not going to be the reason that it didn't, and I'm also not going to be doubting myself for what I did. So I was phone in the room, didn't touch shit, was always on the script. And for the season, I was pretty much the same way. I never had my phone on me. I would leave it in the room, and I would just want to work, and we had the, like, shit.
Dude,
like that.
Great call, by the way. Did somebody tell you that?
Like, no, I just, for me, I'm like, if I'm working and I'm in on something, I'm in on it. And it's like, this is what I want to do right now, so I'm going
to
do it.
Also, think about the fact that, like, these small things, that's a great mentality to have, by the way, because, like, not having your phone, by the way, if there's a moment of dead air or where you're just sitting, hey, guess what, man? Now you look up and you're not in your phone, so you notice a crew member that all of a sudden you strike up a conversation with. Now you're making your whole surroundings and the environment you work in even more comfortable for yourself
to be you.
Because I was going to ask you what the balance is of being like, I'm going to work and I'm going to be professional and I'm not, I got to be weary of the fact that this could, I could fuck this up and this could go away. But also you want to be yourself and be able to enjoy it. And if you're not on your phone, I think that's how you do it. Making yourself comfortable in your surroundings. So now you're like, oh, that's a crew guy I see every day and I have a rapport. So now if I'm goofy and I look over and he's going to laugh at me instead of judge me because we've had a little bit of rapport.
Yeah. And you kind of have this, like, here's the other thing too. I've processed from being a set PA at Conan. I very much lucked out. It almost feels like a written map in a career. Because I could do a multi, like, people ask me, like, from NBC, like, execs, like, drunkenly ask me at the upfronts when the show was picked up, which means they had zero fucking idea how
everyone's
I did it.
Everyone's fucked up, by the way, right?
Yeah. Oh,
those upfronts?
Oh, yeah.
Upfronts,
it's free.
By the way.
It's free. It's
upfronts
gone.
Are the...
That's where I shine, which makes me think I'm an alcoholic, because I'm not
shit-faced.
You
handle shit-faced. Your booze well. That's not an alcoholic.
Yeah, because I'm just, tolerance is built up from depression. But... Clooney boop. shouldn't have said it. But no, in general, like, this one guy came up to me and he works at NBC and he was like, how did you do it? How did you? Because I, before this, had booked nothing else. So to be.
Some of these guys are looking at you being like, hey,
how the fuck did you do a multicam on NBC? You know? And I realized why. Because I was a stand in at Conan for Andy Richter, and it was a multicam setup where I had to walk out, hit a mark, and say my line. So it was kind of like, oh, I already knew how to do that because I was there. And like, crew guys, that's all I was always around. Like, the camera guys and like the stage managers, those were my family. The guys upstairs, because Conan is such a friendly place where there's no seniority, so I was friends with all the producers and friends with all the people, execs, or everybody that worked there. But downstairs is where I was all day. So when I got on set on Conan, I knew what props did. I knew what they did. Like, when I would take risks and improvise shit that I wouldn't tell people, like fall over a couch, and then I broke the couch in the fucking scene, and like, props had to come out and spend 30 minutes to fix it. I know from props' standpoint, when I worked at Conan, they hate not knowing what you're going to do because then it reflects poorly on them. So I go up to them like, dude, I'm so sorry I broke the couch. I know now you get, it's inconvenient for this. And they're like, they didn't give a shit. They're like, no, we're cool. If it was me as a PA, they might have been like, what the fuck, Brent? You know, because I'm an actor on the show, they feel like maybe they don't want to say it.
For sure.
They still say they didn't care, but I'm just used to, like, that's their... If me being an actor on a show is the thing that I keep my phone away and work as hard as I can to do a good job on.
Yeah.
That's how they treat their careers.
Gotcha. 'Cause
that's not a job. That's their career. Props treats props. Like, if you look at a set of any show at home, look closely. You'll see family photos of, like, the actual actors. You see, like, there's a lot of set decorators do, like, they give a shit. Like, because that's their job. That's their painting. Like, if ours is, this is our painting, that's their fucking painting. And then, like, some people want to look down or some, say some shit, like, be like, ah, they'll fix it, Brent. Don't worry. Because I would hear that from other people. I'm like, yeah, they will. But they should know. I didn't know that couch would break, one. Two, I just did a bunch of shit like that all the time. Yeah. So that was my fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would always apologize if I fucked something up. But you know, also, it was my first time. But it was like, you know, that kind of shit goes somewhere.
Now, so you still don't bring your phone? You won't for the next season?
I like the idea of leaving my phone, which kind of backfires because then I get people thinking I changed because I'll get like texts and shit. And then it's like, you know. And then I can't write them back right away.
Fuck. Well, first of all, people need to fucking take it easy. Like, they need to like take it easy with the you didn't respond right away. I know you have your phone on you because
everybody does.
Everybody, even if you're not a comedian, everybody has their phone on them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, we're in a day and age where everybody texts. My parents, who are almost 70, fucking text me all the time.
It's a weird
everybody,
shit.
Yeah, that's
you remember
weird.
The first text from your mom? You're like, what are you doing?
Are you still getting it up? And fucking, it was
wait
like,
a minute.
Yeah, what?
Why'd she ask?
Anyway, Brent
Moore's
been on a
great open relationship. Clooney boops.
Yeah, have you Clooney booped recently? Yeah, that's what I should have said.
Yeah, I did the other night, if we're going to be honest.
You Clooney booped?
Yeah.
Dude, was it an early arrival?
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
I had a long day.
Oh, Jesus.
What was your name?
Oh, no.
Where am I?
When can I get my basketball
Don't
shorts
call
back?
Call them. Who's your boyfriend?
Oh, no. Well,
I made half that up. But the first part was true. Yeah. It was terrible sex.
Oh,
Brent, don't say that.
You can edit that out.
At what point does that stop, too? Because this is the other thing. When do I stop saying things? I don't think I ever want to stop.
Don't have a filter, man.
I hate
don't
that have a filter. Shit. You see it on Howard Stern sometimes. Where Howard
you'd
asks,
be a great
this is why
Stern
I
guest.
Fucking love Howard.
Yeah.
Because Howard asks like actors that I like, and I can't think off the top of my head. But actually, I'll do the opposite. This is why I actually liked Adam Levine. Because Adam Levine would be honest. Like certain James Franco would be honest.
Yeah,
these are two guys you think are going
to
be like, oh, no, I don't
keep
get
it. To themselves.
I don't get many women. No, actually, I'm home alone all the time. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You're on Instagram. You're hitting up women. You're fucking doing your thing.
Yeah, let's talk about
Enjoy your goddamn life. I'm so sick of this shit. Here's another hashtag. Hashtag be you. Fuck her.
Wow. Nice.
I whispered
hashtag.
Fuck her because I thought I needed more after be you because I feel like
that.
Hashtag be you is already a hashtag
Putting
probably.
It all together right now. Yeah.
It's probably some fucking
BU.
British new boy band.
Yeah.
Be you.
Well, BU is Brigham Young University. But,
or Boston University.
Yeah, or Boston University.
Yeah. That's great that we both know our colleges.
Wait, so.
Isn't BYU Brigham Young University?
You know what, dude? You're going to come on my podcast?
And wouldn't Bryant
and
University,
me?
The business school
Bryant,
in Rhode Island?
Lane Bryant University?
No, there's Bryant
the women's
University.
Clothing store? What?
Bryant University in Rhode
That's
Island.
That's a real thing? Is
yeah.
it? Okay. Well,
That's
you're
the
from
other
there.
BU.
Okay.
So there's BYU, BU. I'm sorry, I'm a doctor.
Is there a lot of is there a lot of confrontation with Bryant University and Boston University?
No, it's BU
over
and
the
BC.
Acronyms?
No, because BU doesn't look at BU.
Okay.
That was Boston University. Doesn't really.
My guess has
University.
Been Brent Morin.
Brent Morin.
Well, no, save the singing because we're going to sing before we close this out. So.
Fuck.
Oh God.
Ow. Oh, that was the best thing on the tour. So the first show, I don't sing. I didn't even think about singing. I have one bit in my act where I actually sing.
Yeah.
And in comedy, this is something, it's not frowned upon. It's just kind of like, if you can do it, a lot of other comics will
it's
be like, what
upon
the fuck
by
you doing?
No, it's frowned upon by our friend Chris D'Elia.
Chris says if
you're a comedian, don't sing for real.
Oh, really? Well, why don't you ask him about this shit? Because there's a YouTube video where I get people hit me up like, no real singing, Brent.
Yeah.
Hey, motherfuckers.
I've gotten the same comments.
Let me tell you something, you fucking
YouTube
idiot.
YouTube Chris D'Elia.
Clooney.
Oh, Jesus.
Clooney boops. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking mad at that long-haired shithead. That Rick Springfield fuck. It's all right. I've known him forever.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You know Chris D'Elia? Yeah. Can I get his number? No. Anyway, here's my point to that. If you watch that video, I want people to go and watch that video.
When he sings
he
for
makes
real, right?
fun of me singing for real and then goes in to singing for real a bit that he used to do 5 years prior about fucking, what's his name, Seal.
Yeah.
He used to do a bit about Seal where he sings on stage and that is his singing voice and that is singing for real for him, but it's not good. So that technically can be funny. Sorry if I, yes, can sing well, and Adam, Ray, yes, can sing well.
Thank
We're
you.
Not Clooney Booper singers, no. Okay? We're a hashtag real singers with a Z. That's the other hashtag. Fucking idiots.
Here's what we're going to do to close this out.
I'll be on Broadway one day.
Yeah, you will.
Well.
Dude, come on. Dude, I'm... Once we finish writing, Brent and I are writing a movie, and once we...
That shit will come out.
Yeah, it's going to come out. I'm saying it right now because it's a reality. We're not going to give you what it's about or what it's called, but just know that it's going to make a nice splash.
There might be some problems with the studio,
sure.
And Adam and I might not end up in it.
Yeah, you know what?
It will come out.
Hey,
and
I would love
know about
for Jason Bateman and
Jason Bateman
to play.
Oh, Bateman!
You or
I was thinking Biggs. Which, by the way,
wow.
That makes me feel like I don't
That's
like Biggs.
Like,
I don't mind Biggs. He's a nice guy. I think. He's nice. Do you know him?
No, man.
He seems nice.
He seems like he's great.
Bateman's great, though.
Bateman's great.
Bateman should just play one of our bosses.
Jason Bateman delivers in every movie. I just saw him in his latest movie with Jane Fonda and Tina Fey.
Can I tell you something? Howard Stern interview with him. He
I've
was talking
it.
About
so good.
In the 80s,
yes.
Where he was like a guy who was getting shit, and then he disappeared forever.
Yep.
And he said, and Howard said, well, what was the difference? He goes, in the 80s, he got shit right away. He's like a teenager. His sister got shit, family ties.
Yeah.
And then he got stuff, and he said he just took it for granted and didn't appreciate the win. He goes, once he realized he was in the shit and losing, he really appreciated the win, and now guess what? He puts out fucking gold.
Dude,
appreciate the wins with the losses.
Dude, that was you were like Jason Bateman's agent right there.
And here's another thing. If you're losing, stop making excuses and figure out a way to fix that loss.
So this is what we're doing. So
perfect.
So this
perfect.
So each of you and I are going to take a verse. I'm going to take the first part.
Yeah.
This is you and I. Do it as if you were in college and you're trying to sing to a girl. You just busted out the guitar, okay? So I'll go first. What's up, Christine? You've got your ball. You've got your chain. Tie to me, tie me up again. Who's got the clouds in you, my friend? Into your heart beat again. Sweet like candy to my soul. Sweet to love and sweet to love. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. You take your shirt off, that'd be great. Oh, here come crash into me, yeah, baby. Ooh, I come into you. Oh, yeah, take your pants off, dude. Come into you, yeah. I lit these candles for you, Brent Morin. The second verse is coming up in just a second. Oh, the boy's dream. Here it is. Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, here we go. Brent Morin impressing a girl.
This is your time to take off your clothes and listen to me. Look in my eyes and say I'm your best friend, 'cause I'm for love. Oh, look me in the eyes and tell me I'm alright, 'cause I'm trying. Oh, well, I'm now trying. Hey, what's up? You didn't know that we'd both be here. I'm Brent. So I know he was singing to you, had you over, but.
Oh, Clooney Boops.
Tell you something. Oh, you could be.
Oh, shit.
My first crush.
I noticed when you took off your shirt, you had a little mole on your left shoulder blade. I'm not against moles, but I just want to ask, is that from when you were born? Or is that a new mole? Did you have some cream you could put on that? Because it's kind of distracting.
Distracting.
Oh, I've never been a guy who's liked to make love to a girl with moles. With moans.
Are you a witch? Are you a witch?
Are you a witch?
Are you a witch?
Are you a witch?
If not,
if you're a witch,
and if you are, I might be in. If there's no spells, then you can give me all.
Hocus Pocus is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, Bette Midler did a good job.
Bette Midler is a legend. Oh,
oh, and who was the other girl who was hot?
Oh, ooh, Jessica Simpson.
Jim Carrey.
I just realized she was hot.
No, Jessica. No, Jessica Parker.
Sarah. That was a Clooney flip. I'm sorry.
Brent Morin, Undateable Season 2 starts very soon. Hit him up on Twitter at Brent Morin. Hit him up on Instagram at Brent Morin.
Undateable will be better than Fred's.
That's how we go.
Yeah,
out,
that's
man.
How we end.
Show! That's the show!
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.